Steve Sherlock here for Franklin Matters, Franklin Public Radio, available anywhere, anytime on the internet, in your browser at WFPR.FM, and in your local Franklin, Mass area radio dial. Yeah, the dial, maybe push buttons 102.9. You can preset it so you always have it available. Here virtually with a couple of great folks to talk about the wonderful world of wine. Kim, welcome for doing, thank you for doing this.
Thank you. It's great to be on your show.
This is going to be cool. And Mark Lindsay, welcome.
Thanks, Steve. Always good to talk with you.
And both of you, for those who may not be aware, although by the end of this, you should be intrigued enough that you definitely have to find the wonderful world of wine. That's the goal. So we'll talk a little bit about wine, but we'll talk about kind of podcasting. And you celebrated a th nice milestone, 300 episodes. Wow.
Yeah, I was just thinking back today how I went, how it all started. I mean, we're so lucky that the Franklin Radio and Franklin TV studios allow us to create content and then take it to podcasting. And when we started putting out as a podcast, it led to so many other things. So I hope people hear our story and take advantage of what the radio station offers.
Yes, absolutely. And to that end, we'll do. Why don't you do a little bit more about yourself, Kim? Because I think you do a little bit on each of your episodes, and certainly they can go to the page. But for the short story, who's this Kim? Why is she with these guys?
Who am I indeed? All right. So I am a wine professional. I have been in the wine industry for practically my entire adult working life. I started in sales and have kind of moved around the industry a little bit, but my real passion is wine education. So I am a wine educator. I'm also a beer educator. I sort of fell into beer from doing a little home brewing with my husband and just always liking beer. And the Commonwealth Wine School, which is where I teach, was looking to increase some of its offerings. So beer was on the menu, and I was like, hey, it's kind of one of the things I really am passionate about. So I'm the beer educator there as well. So I teach, I do the show with Mark. He and I actually met quite a few years ago when I had my own little consulting company that I was doing some wine consulting for restaurants, for individuals doing wine tastings. And I wandered into a store one day and I was like, hey, I found you online. It sounds like what you're doing is super cool with your wine club and all the, special events that you do upstairs. And he's like, oh my gosh, let's do some stuff together. So I think, a happy accident that I wandered into Franklin Liquors, and we've been doing things together ever since. We've taken certification classes together, we've done the wine club, and then we started the radio show 8 years ago. And we've been doing episodes almost every week since then, and it's really led to some interesting conversations with people, some expansion of the folks that I know in the industry across the country and across the world. And it's been a joy to work with Mark to do the show.
Indeed. So, Mark, go a little bit about your background, then we'll go back into how Kim fell into a vat of beer. We'll talk about that.
Yeah. Well, born and raised here in Franklin in 1978. I think it was a couple of weeks after the blizzard of 78. My dad decided to buy a liquor store in Franklin, Jimmy's Package Store, which was in the center of town. So I grew up as a child spending days and nights there because my parents both worked there. After high school, I went into a medical career. My brother started running the store, and my dad wanted to retire. So I've been in full time in this liquor business for 20 years now. And part of it, I was an educator in the medical field, and I said, I have to learn what I'm selling here. So that's where my passion started to learn wine and building on all the things and meeting people like Kim out there and that was the whole basis of having the idea for the show, to let people know how wonderful it is out there in the wine world. So that was the whole kind of basis to get together and do it.
Yeah, and clearly in the drinks of choice, you've got kind of three when you go out. You've got beer, wine, and then kind of the hard stuff. But beer and wine is generally the go-to. And yeah, I'm certainly not a wine expert. I'm becoming a little bit more so every time I listen to one of your shows. It's like, oh, I didn't know that. Ooh, that's cool. We'll have to try that sometime. But, having been fortunate to be part of a group that for a number of years there had been an establishment here in Shrewsbury, Mass, called Deja Brew, where you could go and there were six kettles and you could, it was kind of like home brewing, but there. So they did all the cleaning, they had all the supplies, and I didn't have to worry about the mess in the home. Over, I think it was 10 years, we made 300 kettles of beer. So I learned a lot about beer, what I like and what I don't like. And
Yeah. I think when it comes to any of these, that's one of the, I think, early pieces of advice that we give to people when learning about, how to taste and how to be a better consumer is learn what you like, but just as importantly, learn what you don't like. And then we like to be those people who kind of give you some of that language on how to express those likes and dislikes when you're out there in the world. So it's yeah, it's good to know your preferences, but it's also really good to know the things that don't work for you as well.
Yeah, and one of the interesting pieces I find, and I'm sure you run into it periodically because I hear terminology in the words we use. Some people may taste this and try to describe it, and some of that is personal. But some of the terms that, while there is some standards, the standards clearly can vary too.
Yeah, everybody's different. Whatever you taste, you taste. Whatever you like, you like. And you just have to be able to tell people that so they can help you get what you need. I mean, that's that big thing. Trying to explain to people how to put that forward, your profile. We talk about that a lot on the show.
I guess I think one of your recent guests, recent maybe in the last four or five, I probably should have done better notes, but he was talking about some of that science and the taste buds clearly vary from person to person as well. So we may all be tasting the same thing, but we're all going to get three different reactions to it.
Right. And your sensitivity too. I tell my students this all the time. It's like I am much less sensitive to acidic things because I like them in particular. So my threshold is different than other people's. And some people are the same way for sugar. You might have a low threshold for sugary. Maybe you don't like sweet things, and Oreo cookies make you kind of be like, "Ah, that's way too sweet." So, it's not just that maybe when we're smelling and tasting a wine, I'm talking about, cherries and you're thinking raspberries and blackberries. It's like literally our thresholds for these different flavor sensations could be different. So something might taste perfectly balanced for me, but is just like way too acidic or sour for you. So there's that part of it too.
Right. And I think you both mentioned certifications, and I think from your conversations with a variety of the folks, there the number of certifications certainly has changed over time, and some it seems like a couple have dropped off, but there's still a road if you want to get certified, certainly as a sommelier or some other level within that.
Yeah, there's a lot out there. There's a lot out there to do. And there are specialization tracks too. And you bring up a good point with the if you want to be a sommelier kind of thing, because there's different certifications are geared to different paths within either the wine industry or just for people who just want to learn more about it and aren't necessarily going to make it a job. So yeah, there's a bunch of different things that that one can explore as far as their learning goes.
Yeah, I think
Yeah,
so.
just reading too. I mean,
Oh,
that's why
yeah.
we
Yeah.
have all these great, actually people we look up to and read their books and studied based on them, and to talk to them on our show is just, that's why we always, when I approach people to come on, I say, we're big fans of yours. We want our listeners to know you. And I think it works out very well.
Yeah, I think you create that kind of a win-win because clearly you can utilize and leverage, but you're also helping them, which will help them long term. So yeah, that's a win-win.
Right, exactly.
And
And
you've
the more
had
we do it, the better, it is for having the reputation of getting those people to come on. We're so lucky that they take the time to spend with us.
which you hadn't really planned on, but you also ended up winning some awards along the way.
Yeah, well, that all
Congrats.
was thanks to the podcast. Like I said, once we had the content of the radio and being able to use that, it led to a website and then putting it on a host site for a podcast. And then every other podcast site picks it up, as you know, Steve. And then the more content we created with blogs and whatever, it got picked up. And we enter in a few things and surprise a few things. And I'm the last one. I'll just be reading industry news and there's an article that we won something. I'm like, wow, so and I send it to Kim,
You'll send me a text and I'll be like, is this real? I'm like, I don't know. Is it
that's
real?
us. Like, that's us. So yeah, but it feels good that people like the content and we like doing it, so it's fun.
And I think you create certainly the rapport between yourselves and amongst yourselves and then with the guest. I mean, it's what I try to do as well, and we're hopefully doing well today. So people will give us some feedback in the future that
There you go.
how well did you create a conversation so that people just want to tap in and stay with it? What else did they say? Where did they
Yeah.
go?
And you probably find too. I mean, we come into the interviews with a lot of questions. I mean, these people, there's so much you can ask, but we only have so much time, and both of us want to ask so much. It's almost like you could do multiple shows with them, but that seems to be the hard thing for me lately is to give Kim time because I always have
Sometimes
so much time.
it's hard to like stop the interview. It's like we get to, I don't know, an hour or whatever. We're like, oh, we gotta cut it now. And then
I
we like
know.
stop recording and then we just keep talking and it's like, oh, this would be good content too. Like we should keep the like the after interview because there's a lot of fun stuff that we
I've
can talk
done
to our guests about.
a couple of those, particularly with our DPW water sewer gents, Jake and Derek, if I recall correctly. We did in 2 90-minute sets. So from the well to the faucet, and then on the other side from the flush to the treatment center. And we ended up breaking them up into like 30, 35 minutes, kind of at a natural break. So it was part one of two, part one of three, rather, of each of those. And then we just recently did kind of an update because there were some sewer projects and water projects that kind of changed some of the things. That was the other piece, and you probably talk or can reference it too. I tried to keep it as green as possible. So we didn't talk about like current issues or current pricing. Keep that out of it. Just talk about the process, talk about the flow so that people can, because clearly, especially in the news, there's so much out there, but a lot of it's headlines and the real details are underneath that headline. And that's where I think I learned from your conversations in terms of, okay, well, what does that really mean when you open? What does that really mean when you do this, et cetera?
I mean, I feel like it's kind of a double-edged sword because on the one hand, there is stuff that doesn't change very often. Like a lot of things in the wine industry are very slow moving and slow to change. But then on the other hand, we have, current news that pops up all the time that we want to address. But like you said, like if it's too on point and then we record a show and it's not going to air for another 3 weeks, it might already be, old news by that point. But there certainly are things that are moving and changing in the wine industry that we like to address that are hopefully important things for our listeners to find out about.
Yeah, and I think one of the trends, if anything, because I think part of your education focus is wine consumption has been declining.
Yeah, we've been talking about that a lot.
Yeah,
That
it's
would.
always a big question for people out there is, what are they seeing? And the big thing is the younger generation. Is everybody seeing this movement where the younger people are not drinking. Why is it not drink? Why are they not drinking? The health thing. We've done a few things on health that people that say, you know, it's all not true, it's all moderation and it's good for you. And it's good to get two sides of the story to let people decide what they think on it.
Because I
And
think
that's another one
currently,
that's always like changing. It's like
yeah.
some new study will come out and it's like, oh, well, there goes that episode. Some new
Yeah.
thing was just published.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because to a certain extent, I mean, even from the times we all grew up, which was certainly at some different times, there's much more options for doing things to kind of, you know, have some fun these days than there were when we were growing up.
Sure.
It was much more simple, so to speak, back in those days, or at least legally.
Yeah.
Well, and even within the beverage industry, there's a lot more options these days, whether you're talking about alcoholic beverages or you're talking about less alcohol or no alcohol. You know, even just removing the low or no alcohol movement, there is such diversity now and availability of different things that, you know, in the 70s and 80s, it was just not here. You know, smaller wine regions or different beer styles. I mean, the craft beer movement was in its infancy in the early 80s. So, you know, that whole part of the industry is, you know, I think a lot younger than most consumers know. So there's, you know, there have been these trends and these changes, and we, you know, we like to watch the wave and like the things that are popular and then not popular and then popular again. So it's all it's you know it's all a it's all movement.
Yeah, I think that's part of what you've got to ride the wave of the info and be careful not to be too timely, time bound, because then it doesn't necessarily age well. But be aware of at least the longer term trends and then listen for what the new thing might be coming around the corner.
And that's hard to predict sometimes.
Oh,
All the time. It's hard.
yeah. Yeah. That's a line that as a reporter, I tell him I don't forecast. I just focus on reporting.
Yep.
So of the multiple interviews, certainly you had your 300th show, you may have kind of a top one, two, or three that were like kind of the most favorite for you because of whatever reason, whether it was the person or whatever got revealed in the conversation. Do you have some of those?
Yeah, I think just people that I've idolized, you know, Carrie McNeil, famous, and Andrea Immer, who I watched on cooking shows, you know, years ago. And then to get those people on the show, Kathy McCabe from Dream of Italy, everybody's probably seen her on PBS. And Drew Bledsoe, being a big Patriots fan, he's had a
Sure.
winery and he was very nice to take time with us. So I think they're all special. I feel bad there was a few we did that they were kind of trends. There was a woman in New Hampshire who had a bus tour for a
Right.
wine and she ended up going out of business. So there's some
Oh.
trends that we focused people on, but they. You know, there was some people from Australia that had different way to review wines with emojis that went under. So I don't know if we're cursing these people, Steve, or what, but I just, you know, it's just amazing to talk to the people and for them to know you know their story. I think they appreciate it when we bring out the little things for them.
Yeah, I
Yeah,
think that.
it's been fun having, you know, folks that we have known about or followed for a really long time. Andrea Immer was the one who came up in my mind too when I was thinking about this question. I think Mark and I both went both quite fangirl over Drew Bledsoe. But he was so easy to chat with. Like that was such a nice conversation. And we
That came
tasted his
through when I listened to it for
Yeah, oh my
sure,
gosh,
yeah.
it was so just chill. And we tasted his wine alongside him, and that was just it was really, really nice. That was a cool one. But we've also had like return people who we have a conversation with every year or two, like Vince Antar. And Vince is on TV and he's got, all of these really wonderful travel shows. So I love following Vince's career and then, having him on the show and we get to kind of revisit the things that he's been doing and the places that he's gone and it's like new wines that he's found. And then some of our local friends too. Was Chiro our very first interview, Mark?
No, you know what, who our first interview
Who was our
was
first interview?
Bob Frisella for La
Oh, it was
Cantina.
Bob. Ah, okay. So yeah, we were keeping it local with the early shows. Yeah, so Bob Vizella from down the street in Franklin with
La
La
Cantina.
Cantina.
And at
But yeah,
that
we've
time we had to be together in a studio. And we would do a show every week talking about wine topics. And the idea was, well, let's bring Bob in. But we're kind of nervous because it was kind of different than what we planned on doing. And then after COVID started, the only way we could get together was
Through Zoom.
This.
Yeah.
And it really changed the direction of the show because we're like, hey, we can call people all over the world now and do this. And Kim doesn't have to be bugged and come and, well, squeeze in a
Make my
room
way to Mark's
and
store.
figure out with a guest how we're not going to get feedback. And it really opened up more. A bad
Yeah,
thing opened
it
up
really
more.
did take a different direction after COVID. And I mean, this was a conversation that we had with so many people in those in the quote unquote COVID years. Like, how has your business had to pivot? How have you been able to change either to in a good way or in a bad way in order to be able to keep, your beverage business kind of up and running? And that's kind of our story. How did we pivot? We pivoted that way. So we took this, sort of negative thing where we could never be together to record to kind of open it up to people all over the place. So it ended up working out pretty well. And I just want to say, like, Mark is a complete go-getter when it comes to reaching out to these people. So he's
So he
our
does
PR
all the
man
scheduling.
here. Yeah. Oh my goodness. And kudos
Yeah,
to
I
you,
just
Mark,
bugged.
because
I said it. I think it, one of the shows we just did, I mentioned, and I was kind of regretting that I said it. But when we do a show, we don't discuss what we're going to talk about. It's we know who we're going to talk to, or we know the topics we're going to talk about. We don't know, you say this, I'll say that. I
We
don't know
like
what
prep our
Kim's.
own stuff. So like I prep my stuff and he preps his stuff and then we just like go
And I
for
find that fun
it.
because you don't know. What's gonna it leads to a direction. It leads to never running out of things to talk about.
Agreed.
So
But
it's
this is
fun.
our normal banter. Like this is how Mark and I, when we're like meet up together, this is just how we are. So
You just
it's
replicate that and capture it and
It's just
then
like,
share it accordingly. No,
okay.
I think those are the fun interviews. And Chloe, even from the reporting side, for those that may not be aware, but yeah, especially because I had retired just in time for that November 2019 election to do a bunch of candidate interviews. And then, of course, COVID hit in March. So our town administrator and I were going to be meeting in the studio to do kind of a Talk Franklin thing. And then we couldn't. And then because he had so much, we ended up doing it via Zoom every 2 weeks because he had so much happening all the time. So that really became a thing for the rest of the year. But yeah, I don't. I try to know a little bit about the person, a little bit about the topic, but then I'm going into the conversation expecting to learn, listening carefully, and then asking the questions in or the follow-ons and the serendipity that comes out of those conversations, I find fun.
It is
Yeah,
good.
we learn a lot from our guests. I feel like we've had so many writers and authors and educators on that we've seen so many different styles of educating people, even within our own area of expertise, that we always kind of get something new out of it. Whether it's just a tip for introducing a certain topic or, just some little, one sentence phrase that can help our students or, help our customers. So I agree. Like we really do take something out of, I feel like, every interview that we do.
So
Yeah, we
without
ended
tip.
up having like traditions now too. Been doing it for so long. We have our
Thanksgiving show, we have our Christmas show, we have our New Year's
New Year's
show, where all I
show.
do is ask him about bubbly,
Just
and
peppers me with questions about sparkling wine, and I just I could like talk and talk and talk and talk.
You
That's one of
have a
those where
love
it's
for
like it's an
bubbly,
hour.
huh? So it leads to traditions after all the years, so it's fun.
Definitely. I think one of your, if I recall, we didn't may have already mentioned it. I'm losing track already, but the Charlie Brown Christmas and pairing up the characters with wine for the characters, that was an interesting approach.
Yeah, we have to do different stuff. We have sometimes Kim says no, but
It's true. Sometimes I do say that. I
It's a
did say
little
yes
bit
to Charlie Brown.
too much to the stretch, huh?
Yeah, too it's out there, too far. And
I draw the line
it's
on wine and cupcakes. I don't do wine and cupcakes.
and she'll surprise me too, because hey, I'm gonna reach out to this person and no real excitement. Then I'll every once in a while I'll mention a name. Yeah. So but it's
So you
never ending.
still.
We'll always have ideas, hopefully. So,
I was going to say you still have a wish list, so
oh yeah,
you're not ending anytime soon.
yeah.
Oh no. The 2026 wish list is quite robust at this point.
Yeah, and unfortunately, when we first started, we were doing weekly shows, and then we changed to bi-weekly just because workloads and I you know, people listening, you know, people like yourself, Steve, you do so much work, you're doing so many recordings every week, it adds work to you. I mean,
Of
you
course.
thank you for everything you do, but you know, it's a great thing that the studio gives us the opportunity to do it, but we have to do all the editing and stuff ourselves, so there's some work to be done, and
Yeah,
we cut
so
back.
we can dwell on that for a bit. So, do you do most of the editing? Does Kim help on that, or
Yeah,
that's all
I the
him?
only reason I do is because Kim originally wasn't. I think when we did all the training, I don't think Kim was part of it because we didn't really talk about how we were going to do everything. But Kim had. We have a system where she has the recordings and sends me the files, and I go through it. So now I've done it so much, I wouldn't want to give it to her because it's
Your
just
system
do
is
it.
down pat.
Yeah, I got it kind of down pat. So I can cut her out more if I can control
That's all
it.
right. You're a little more tech savvy than I am, so I'm happy for you to do that part of it.
Every once in a while, people will say something. Kim goes, "Oh, don't worry, he'll cut that out." And I'm like,
That's right, we
"No,
do say that. It's like,
yeah." So we do edit everything, which brings it down because if we might record over an hour, and then we have to get it, you know, within the confines of the time we're given. So you deal with that all the time. I know.
Even in the candidate interviews, I targeted them to be, at most kind of 30 minutes, and it truly averaged 29 something, but the shortest was 12 and the longest was 57.
Wow.
So
12 minutes.
it
12
was a
minutes.
range.
Wow. Yeah. It's interesting because it's some guests you think, wow, we get so much to talk about, and then it ends up short, and there's others you
I
think, I don't have
know.
anything to talk about, and it goes
Well,
longer.
and it's amazing because sometimes, and especially whether they're an author or whatever, or even a candidate, I mean, we're doing this to help them get their story. And it's all, and some of them, it's like pulling teeth. It's like, well, I mean, this is your time. Talk. Just don't give me a one-word answer. Please elaborate.
And I'm sure you had the guests where you can't get in a word at edgewise. You have so much to ask, and they want to just keep promoting what they want to promote, which is fine, but I just would like to have got asked a couple questions.
I love when you give me a heads up ahead of time, Mark. You're like, okay, this person's a talker, so just be aware. And more often than not, he's right. I'm like,
It's
okay,
all,
maybe I only need five questions for today.
Franklin's an Italian town, so I can say it, Steve. It's the Italian interviews we do that they just want to keep
Oh my
talking all the
God.
time, right? But we're
And
good.
certainly in the audio world, you don't see the hands going as well, right? But that's another trait.
That's me.
And you know, you mentioned that though, Steve. The audio, I mean, the video part of this was all new with Zoom too. So when we first started, and we're talking to people, we weren't seeing them. And I think way back, someone did say something to me. I think I may have mentioned to you years ago that the person, I said, the person said to us, it was very difficult for me because I couldn't physically see you. And we're thinking, well, this is a radio show, but it is way better now that we can see the face and get reaction when you ask a question. So unfortunately, sometimes bandwidth doesn't help with that. And you want to make sure the audio is perfect. But yeah, we've learned a lot of how to record and get the best out of people. You can tell people that don't want to. And, we've had some stories where we had one gentleman, he was in his bathroom during the interview. We had people that were in restaurants during the interview or had to find a public place to do the interview. So I think we've interviewed people in every possible area they could be in.
We've had a few where people were in their car.
Started one way
Lots of
and
those.
started kept talking and got in their car and
It can be a varied thing, and that's where at least I was fortunate. And the listeners were fortunate for the Franklin candidates. They all were, in knowing what they were going to be doing, they got in a nice spot where it was good Wi-Fi, good bandwidth. So we were able to keep the video on. But yeah, there have been times when they're in a car or they're just in a spot where the bandwidth's just not fine. And they're starting to break up every other like 4 or 5 minutes or so. It becomes noticeable. But yeah, if you turn the video off, then all of a sudden the audio just, comes through nice and clear. So yeah, we lose that eye contact. So you can even do kind of the gestures or kind of like go this way. Which some people will see because we're doing video now, but maybe it'll come out just audio. We'll trial that and see what happens. If the video is worth publishing, we'll publish it. But otherwise, we can fall back and have the audio and we'll just live within between the ears.
I did my hair, so it's all, fine.
Yeah, I
Hard
got
with the headset.
my studio shirt on, so just the logo doesn't get visible.
we've all got our swag on, so.
Definitely. So for somebody wanting to start out, a tip or two in terms of things to consider, not
For
necessarily for a
podcasting
wine
or
show.
wine?
Clearly you don't want to advise them to do wine because you already got that covered, but podcasting at least.
I think a lot of it comes down to the topic, whether it's you're going to do, an interview show like we do, or something that is more, informative from your end. What are you passionate and knowledgeable about, and what do you think will get other people excited? So that's why we do this show, because we feel like there's a lot out there, and we like to. I think when we started, we were like trying to distill kind of all of this information that was sort of, floating around the news about wine and beverage and, topics that were kind of out there. So we were looking for a way to kind of, make that information be available all kind of in one place. So that was really how we started. But then it sort of blossomed to more of an educational platform, and now with the interviews. So yeah, I would say, it really does start with the topic, but also having a good co-host if you're doing it with somebody else.
Yeah, you definitely need a partner in crime when you're doing it, I think, and someone who's passionate about it. But I think you also, too, you have to never stop promoting it if you want it to be picked up like we got picked up. We publish so many things and so many, you keep adding things to where it can be found. And Steve, there's so many podcasts, so there's different ones in Europe than there are here, and you have to submit it to those. So the more you put out, and if you can just, I think the best thing I found was when I Google the show and it pops up. I'm like, wow, there's
Here we
somebody. Go Google
are.
found us, I
People
mean,
can find us.
And I think we had the conversation before, Steve, where you said, an article or maybe you wrote, not even a podcast, but an article you wrote kept popping up on Google that was very popular. You never know what gets found, but you just got to
No.
keep putting things out
Yeah.
there. So if you have a podcast idea, don't just think about the content of the show, but how are you going to promote that passion for that show and put it out there, and it's really important.
And this is where it's good to have a partner because that is something that Mark is particularly good at, and I am not. So the show would not nearly be as successful without him doing that, like promoting part of it. But I also don't think it would be as good if we didn't have the ability to kind of bounce things off of each other. So it's,
True.
having that partnership is great.
Yeah, I would concur from my experience, and I do like the partner concept. I have a new partner every time, so it's always a challenge to that extent. But I think the other point to enforce from reinforce from what you said is to do something that you want, to answer your questions, to have some fun doing it, and that comes through. And thereby, if it's coming through, the people will listen, and then the people will come back.
And I think there's a, when you come at it with a topic that you really know about and you're genuinely being the person that you are, which Mark and I absolutely are in our show, that resonates with people. And, I feel like when I listen to our show, I'm like, oh yeah, that really seems like us. Like we just seem, I like to think we seem like genuine people, that this is just kind of how we have this conversation, but that we really know our topics as well. And I hope that that is a part of our show that people really can feel a bit of trust in that we, the information that we are presenting, we actually do know what we're talking about. Right, Mark?
Yeah, I hope so. I mean,
I think so too.
it's hard to know.
We've been doing wine for a really long time. I like to think we know what we're
You
talking
only
about.
hope so? Come on.
Well, it's a lot of times, especially in the past where we did the shows on a particular subject in the wine world, I'd always get nervous because I'm like, that's what we've learned. But what if there's someone out there who's the expert and thinking these people don't, I've never gotten that feedback that, you were totally wrong, but I know like we've done like an episode on, say, non-alcoholic wines, and then we've interviewed somebody, and I'm thinking, wow, we said that wrong. We said something wrong, and you can't go back and correct it.
No.
But we try to put out what we learned and pass it forward. And that led to when our 300th episode came, that Len Pizzuti, we had him on years ago. And the whole basis of bringing on the 300th show is because as a podcast, that was the most listened to podcast guests we had over
Okay.
any of the famous people. I mean, Len is famous in this New England area,
Sure.
but worldwide, he was outplayed, and he couldn't understand. Like he was just beside himself. He does his own radio show in Boston on AM radio. So, but he was my guru and idol when I was learning wine, and Kim worked with him and learned wine from him, and he's now retired. So, I felt honored to, show that to the people that, this is why we had him on that show. So.
Whenever you dropped that bit of information on him on the show, you're like, Len, this is why we're having you. And he was just like, it was like Christmas morning to him.
Well, it was an authentic reaction.
Yeah, which was
Yeah,
nice.
and it came through. It
Yeah.
absolutely came through. And I think that's the key, to the extent that certainly your collaboration, coordination, personalities comes through. That's you. You're authentic. And then you're consistent. And there's something new. So, oh, there's another one. Let's go listen. Oh, there's another one. Let's go listen, right? That tends to be kind of the self-fulfilling prophecy from another phrase.
It's good. I like how when you do your show, Stevie, I say, if you like something, let me know. If you don't like something, let me know. I wish we got more of that. We get a lot of people sending things, but nothing. Thank God we've never, no one's ever said, you're wrong, you're stupid, or anything like that. But I would love if people, even if there's some topic you want us to talk about, I know we varied off into beer because of Kim's beer education. We have upcoming liquor. We're going to do a couple things with liquor. So the wonderful world of wine is venturing out just to get
Expanding a
more,
bit.
yeah, just to get people's feedback because there's so many interesting people in other spirits. So,
Sure.
yeah, but we're going to try to maintain what we've been doing.
Well, and I think to your point earlier, with the variety of products that are available, years ago was vodka was just kind of one thing. Now you've got multiple flavors of vodka. It's like,
Oh,
what
yeah.
is this?
Yeah.
And that's just one.
It's funny. Years ago, we were going through some old paperwork at the liquor store. And back in the 70s, when you got a beer delivery, there was like five items. You know, now when there's a beer delivery, the guy has one of those little portable printers and it's, 3 feet long of items that prints out when you get an invoice. So the amount, that's what makes it difficult for people. You know, when you're shopping for things, because there's a
Sure.
lot out there,
There is.
and it's our job to kind of tell you what's what and who's who, and we're always learning that. That's the fun thing. The stories. We say that a
The
lot.
stories.
The stories are
Well,
the key,
yeah, just
especially this time of
picking.
year, holiday time. You're sitting around, I brought you this wine. You know, it's not just because I saw it on the end cap, it was on sale, and I bought it because it has a story that I can tell you about. I think that's good, but we're geeky like that. So.
I bore my poor friends all the time when I go over their houses and they have wine on the counter. I'm like, let me tell you the story behind this wine. Like, these were two cousins and they fought with each other, and that's why it's two wineries, like that kind of thing.
Yeah, it's those little things that you pick up along the way that then become, the line in a conversation, which may then take the conversation in another direction, and then, that's all goodness.
I'm sure you did that when you brewed beer, right, Steve? I made this beer when you give it to
That's
him. Right? What
right.
do you
Yeah,
think?
I
Right?
learned this, and I have the line now. I'll drink anything once, because
Try it.
now at least I know my range. And okay, I'll either go back to it or maybe I won't, but I'll give
And
it a try.
sometimes things surprise you. If you're a particular style you don't think you like, but then you've got this one type that, hey,
Yeah,
maybe this one particular one.
I tend towards the darker, heavier, the porters and the stouts. So there was a jalapeno porter. It was like, wait a minute, what? No.
No, didn't work.
At least that
Wow.
particular iteration. I've heard of others, but I've been hesitant. But yeah, there are some combinations. Well, I think you said wine and cupcakes. That's not a thing for you.
It's not my thing. No. Mark is much more creative when it comes to his pairings, and he's more, what's a good word? I don't know. That's what
Adventurous.
happened.
Yeah, years
You're much
ago
we
more exploratory with those pairings than I am.
would do wine education classes, and it was people just wanted to know what is wine, the basic stuff.
Basics.
And then over the years, people would say, you know what? Now I know why. Let's what else? You had to keep coming up with ideas, pairing ideas, and different partners to pair with. It was just. It got crazy because the ideas kept coming and we kept saying, well, will people want this to do this or try this? We had bagels and wine and pies and wine and it's just so
Potato chips and
much.
wine are a
Potato
good one, though.
chips,
I
yeah,
liked the potato chip
Cheez-Its.
and wine.
We've
Oh,
done it
the cheese
all.
and tasting. I forgot about the
The
cheeses.
cheeses. Yeah.
The
Well,
one, the different
and
flavors of cheeses. It
just the
was funny.
combination of kind of the salty, crunchy versus the liquid and the
And
varieties
cheese.
and
Yeah, cheese
cheese.
and
Sure.
wine,
Cheese and wine.
it's all good.
Yeah, so
I'm getting hungry.
It
It's almost
never
cocktail
ends.
hour.
Right. And that's key to the picking your podcast topic too. I mean, we have a topic and subject that's we can always find something to talk about on a show. If you have something you want to talk, do a show about, but you only have, limited subject matter,
Right.
then it's not worth doing it.
Yeah.
I can't tell you how many people I've said you have to go to the radio station and pitch an idea because you're great at this, and they don't, but I
No.
keep trying.
Well, that's some of the industry stats say that I think of what, three podcasts that start, one only does the first episode.
Oh, really?
So yeah, those of us who have longevity, and producing the good content like you certainly are, and mine is much more specific because it's Franklin matters. So if people want Franklin, and we're getting broader to the extent that, well, not everybody who ever lived in Franklin is still here. They've distributed around the world in some
Yeah,
cases.
nice.
So, people in California, Florida, whatever, certainly, especially with the studio work born from COVID, because the high school sports were restricted and parents couldn't go to the fields. They developed the studio in a box. So the one or two techs would go set up the camera, and in 10 or 15 minutes, they were broadcasting to YouTube. And oh, by the way, grandma and grandpa could see it from
Yeah.
wherever.
Yeah, that's great.
And that's continuing. So there's an awful lot of good that's come out of that.
Yeah, that's back to that, well, how did you pivot during the pandemic, and how have those changes ended up being something for good? And I feel like we've got a few of those things.
Yes, definitely. Well, this
Yeah,
has
and the
been a f
studio, without the studio, Franklin TV, Franklin Radio, I don't think we would have kept up with the with if they said
Yeah.
you're not doing a radio show anymore, I don't think we would have done the
Yeah,
podcast anymore for
having the
sure.
support from the radio station has been
Has been
instrumental in us
absolutely.
continuing
Yeah,
the show.
I thank my lucky stars for, one, the equipment, two, the opportunity, the
Yeah.
ongoing opportunity for even training. It's like, oh, we can do video too? Why not?
And I always say to Kim, we keep doing the shows, and I said, geez, Kim, I haven't no one from the radio station's really given any feedback. I guess we'll just keep going,
We
right?
just keep going.
I don't know if they're happy or not happy, or we'll find out.
That's right. Figured they'd let us know.
Well,
So,
and you keep getting the accolades and awards, so why not?
yeah, this was our like best year ever, or for having that kind of recognition, and our listener base keeps growing, and we have people all over the world who listen to us, and I've got folks who I worked with a decade ago who moved to Florida who listened to the podcast and who will like reach out to me, and like it's been a nice way to, I don't know, just kind of keep in front of people. And
Top of
yeah, I
mind.
think the original podcast award site, the gentleman who was the big, responsible for developing Podcast Awards passed away. So I think a lot of that momentum for doing those type of awards, where they were really just, free, independent. Like, there are some awards out there that you can pay them $5,000 and they'll gladly consider you for an award, but it's the independent ones that we always go towards. So,
Sure. Yeah. Because since we're in that nonprofit space, yeah, this is we're doing this for the passion, not for the money.
We did get a nice medal though from the Taste Awards, so
Yes, you
that was
did. That
fun.
was
That
quite
was
impressive.
Mine's hanging in my living room.
That was fun.
Yes.
We could have went to Beverly Hills, but Kim
Well,
didn't want to go.
no,
I
I
didn't
didn't
have a
want to buy a new
tux.
dress.
Next time. Yeah,
Next
next
time.
time. Well, good. This has been fun. I hope you've had some fun too. I
Yeah,
have.
thanks, Steve.
Yeah, thank you for letting us talk about the show. And thank you again, Steve, for everything you do for the town of Franklin, and for the radio shows. You always get us together to talk shop for the shows, and you're always putting out content. Your daily newsletter is always a go-to to mine. You're always supporting everything. So thank you for that.
No,
Appreciate it.
thank you. It's certainly a work of love, and as you've heard the line, we do this because Franklin matters.
Yeah, good one.
Yes. Well, thank you for doing this. Thank you, listeners. And certainly in the show notes, if you haven't already found, you can Google it very easily. Wonderful World of Wine, and I think you actually have the wonderfulworldofwine.www.wine.
The
I have that.
www.wine is the
The
podcast. I mean, the website.
www.wine is the website, in which you've got to go back through all the episodes. You can go back, find the Drew Bledsoe one, see the 300th one, go back to the very first one. That's probably out there too, right?
It's all there.
All there. Absolutely. Good. Well, thank you again for doing this. And to the listeners, thank you for listening. And yes, we do this because Franklin matters.